It's still weird. It's still strange to me. But wherever you're watching from, know that you're loved. Know that we miss you. Know that we can't wait to get back together. If you're watching from another church, know that we're also praying for your church and your pastor. I've said this before all week long as I did my online videos and tried to encourage people. I truly believe that we're going to come out of this better than ever before. That God's church is going to be better. He's going to take this and turn all this for not only his good, but for our good as well. You know, I was encouraged last week after I was really nervous about how this online thing would go. I was talking to some of my pastor friends, and you know what? Christians actually broke the internet. We hear about Beyonce breaking the internet, but last Sunday morning, the church broke the internet. Thankfully, our platforms survived, but there were several that crashed because so many people were trying to get to church. I truly believe these are people who may not have ever been in church. They're trying to find something that calms the fears that they have. You know, we're really just one church now with many campuses spread out all over the county. Let me encourage you. I asked you to do this last week. Some of you did. Some of you didn't. I know it's a little weird. If you're in your PJs, put on something presentable, and then take a picture. We want to see what church looks like for you. Use this hashtag one step at home. We want to see what it looks like for you, and it just helps us all kind of knit together that we're all doing church in a different place, but we're still the church. Last week, we talked about fears. We started our new series called Faith, Hope, and Love. We talked about how fear can really distract you from your faith, but that really what God has given us is not a spirit of fear, but he's put faith in us, that we're supposed to fill our space and the things around us, even our minds and our hearts, with his word, with his voice. And that's how we get closer to God. The Bible says literally that's where faith comes from. If you missed it last week, you can actually catch it on Facebook or YouTube. They're streaming, or actually they're on video on demand there. But this week, as I talk to people, and I tried to do video chat with people, I've tried to actually call people where I maybe would have previously just texted them. A common theme I heard, and even I realized it's running through my own life and in my own heart, was, where's the end of this thing? When do we come back to church? When do the kids go back to school? When is this virus gonna go away? Is there light? I found myself looking, is there light at the end of the tunnel? And the truth of the matter is, what we're all looking for, is hope. We're trying to look out all these weeks and figure out, where does it end? I wish I had the answer. I'm a man of faith, and I believe God will move mountains, and can move mountains, and he has. I just don't know. We're all looking for hope. Even people who are Christians, aren't Christians, are looking for something bigger than themselves, something to give them an answer. Look, other people are looking to the government, to doctors, to other people who claim to be wise and know what's going on, yet they still don't have hope. See, God created us to need hope. We need to have something to anchor our life on. Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future." And then this last three words, "and a hope." See, he not only is hope, God gave you a hope, something to anchor our lives to anchor us down. So for the next few minutes, I want to kind of reach into your house, your car, wherever you're joining us from. And I'm just going to ask God to deposit hope into your life. Because I know if I'm experiencing, then there's lots of you who are. I've struggled this week, found myself in moments of going, God, I just need you to calm me, give me some hope that we're going to get through this, because I don't see a way out. How our church is going to function? How are we going to keep going? How is life and businesses? And the answer is, I don't know. But I do know God gives us hope. I know in this time of social distancing, it makes even those who feel alone worse, because now we're all isolated. And the devil's using that to push us into corners and to keep us isolated and trying to break us up. But like I said a minute ago, I truly believe the church is going to come out of this better than ever before. We're going to come out stronger. Right now we're reaching more people than I think we probably ever have, because there's people hungry for hope, hungry to see a light at the end of the tunnel. I want to tell you a quick story about this man in the Bible. It's in John chapter 5, if you want to grab your phone or device and or your Bible and turn to it. It's the story of a man that's laying by a pool. And in that day, they believed if the waters got stirred, the first one in the pool would be healed. Well, this man was paralyzed, and he couldn't move on his own. And he'd been sitting there for 38 years. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 5, that one of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to come back and forth to the office, not go many other places. My wife's at home with the kids. A lot of you now have been home with kids for almost 2 weeks. You want to see some hope. You want to see a light at the end of the tunnel. When are we going back to normal? My kids are driving me nuts. I get it. This man had been sitting there for 38 years. Look what he says in the next verse, in verse 6. It says, when Jesus saw him, he had been and known he had been ill for a long time, he asking this question. And it would be like me asking you, do you want this to be over? Do you want life to go back to normal? You would say to me, of course we do. Well, Jesus asked this man, would you like to get well? And in verse 7 of this passage, he says, I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me in. He had no one to hope, no one to hold on to, no one to get him to what he knows he needed to do to get him to the end. Well, you've probably heard the rest of the story. That's when Jesus says to him, stand up, pick up your mat, and leave. And the Bible says that instantly the man got up, rolled his mat up, and left. You see, that's the kind of hope. He suddenly became this man's hope. You see, I think a lot of us are sitting in a similar spot. We're sitting now in a place where we don't know how this is going to end. I don't know where this is going to go. I'm beginning to lose hope that it will end. And every time I think of something, or I see something, or I get information that gives me hope, it changes. It pulls the rug out from underneath us. What's true today is not true tomorrow. What's true this morning is not true tonight. It used to not affect kids. Now the virus says it can affect kids. It used to say this, and now it's that. We don't really know because it's constantly changing. But look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:13. It talks about three things that last forever. It says faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. I want to key in today on that middle one, on hope. And let me tell you why I think God put these as one, hope as one of the three, and why he created us to need to have something to hope, to hold on to. Because I think he knew we would need it. We would face times like this where we need hope. We need something bigger than ourselves that we know is not going to move. Because hope is an anchor. You see, where we are now, nothing stays the same. Information is always changing. Nothing is constant. But the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that this hope is strong and trustworthy. It's an anchor for our souls. You see, the problem is we're anchoring ourselves to things that's not holding us still. Your anchor is only as good as the thing you anchor it to. So for some of us, we're anchoring our lives to things that aren't stable. They move with us. We just drag it around. Some of you are maybe in a relationship. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's another religion. But the bottom line is it moves. And God knew we would need something stable that we could hang on to that would anchor our lives. So hope is an anchor. It's our lifeline. If you look at the Message version of this verse, it calls it a lifeline. It calls it something that we can hold on to. The next thing is that our hope is a promise. Our hope actually looks to a promise. Our hope, not now or will ever, be based on our government. Although we're supposed to follow our government, follow the rules. We're following those rules now with social distancing. That's why we're online church now, not gathering in groups of 10 or more. But that doesn't anchor my hope. The doctors, the nurses, they're all brilliant. They do amazing things. They serve us. They're keeping people healthy, saving thousands of lives. But that's not where my hope comes from. If you look in Hebrews 6, verse 17 at the Message Bible. And it's a paraphrase, so it's not a direct translation, but I love the way this reads. It said, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word a rock-solid guarantee. He based it on himself. I can't swear by anything higher than himself. And because that word cannot change, the promise doesn't change. Well, if God's promise doesn't change, then our hope doesn't change. It's unchangeable. In a time where right now, everything's changing. If we'd have said back in the 1st of January, we'd be sitting here now where I'm only talking to you online, we would have all said you're crazy. It'll never happen. Yet here we are. But it doesn't mean that God has changed. It doesn't mean that anything's changed as far as God is concerned. He's still on the throne. He wasn't surprised by this because hope looks to a promise. The next thing is if your life and my life were a ship right now, I don't know about you, but my life has been rocked. I actually have friends right now who are currently being tested for this virus. Friends in other parts of the country, and they're closer to hotbeds of where the outbreak is. And I don't know about you, but life rocks. And God knew, I think, that I would need, that you would need something to steady my life. Something to not just anchor me, but to bring balance. See, I truly believe that's what hope is. I believe the hope that God gives us, hope steadies life. See, Jesus, in the New Testament, there's a story about where Jesus goes walking on the water, and the winds and waves are blowing. And it's the part where he invites Peter to come out and walk with him. And Peter jumps out of the boat and begins to walk. And the Bible says he sees the waves, and then he begins to sink. And the Bible says that Jesus reaches down and picks him up. But I want you to see this next verse at the end of the story of Matthew chapter 14, verse 32. And it says, when they climbed back into the boat, that's when the wind stopped. See, I promise you now, if your life is rocking and rolling and it's unstable and things don't seem right, just looking at God is just not enough. You have to invite him in. His hope, the Bible says, through his son comes into our lives. And if we need something to steady our lives, then that's what has to happen. It's not good enough just to look from a distance and see that God's there. The Bible talks about having a real life relationship with him. The wind stopped when Jesus got in the boat. Some of us have everything else in the boat, but we haven't thought to bring God. Some of us have every other item. Somebody has all the toilet paper. Your boat's full of toilet paper, but you don't have God. You have all the meat. You have all these products that we now seem to be short of, but we're not letting God in. We need our lives to be steady by our Father. And that happens with hope. See, if you've ever experienced this in your life or been through something like this, then our lives become anchored to things that aren't anchors. We anchor our lives to the economy. We get happy or sad as the stock market rises. We anchor our life to jobs. Some of us even anchor our lives, and I get this because I'm a very much routine person. I put my keys, my wallet, my stuff in the same place every day. When I go home, I like routine. Routines can't be the thing that brings us peace or brings us hope. It can't be the things that holds us steady. You see, for the disciples, when Peter got into the boat was still rocking. Now, the Bible doesn't say what order they got in, but for the sake of this story, let's assume Peter gets back in the boat. Jesus is standing on the water. He puts Peter back in the boat. The boat's still rocking. The boat did not stop until Jesus got back in the boat, until he himself was present in their lives and in the same vessel that they were in. You see, hope for us is real. If you really want to get down to it, hope is waiting on you. Hope waited on me. And let me walk into his life and ask, had God come into my life and get into my boat and keep all my junk. Hope's waiting on us. Why? Because our hope has a name. Hope has a name. If you read through your Bible and read through the New Testament, you'll see over and over and over that God said, I'm sending you hope. I'm sending you my son. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Because if God hadn't sent Jesus, we would have no hope. This virus, this craziness going on around us would be the least of our concerns. Because we would be so separated from God, he couldn't help us, even though he wanted to, because we were separated by sin. So we had no hope. The Bible says that Jesus came and he is our hope. He's the thing, again, that anchors our life, that settles the life down, that holds us steady. He's the promise. The Bible talks over and over about the promised one. But you need to know all that's true. But if you hear anything I've said this morning, hear this last point. Hope has a name. The thing you're looking for has a name. He's here with us. He's there in your car. He's there in your living room. He's there wherever you may be, if you're at work, if you're in the hospital, working, serving us as a doctor or a nurse, if you're sick in the hospital, he's there. The thing you need is there, and he has a name. And I love the paraphrase of the Message version. I love the way this reads. Before we close today, I want to read this to you. It says in Matthew 12, 21, it says that he won't walk over anyone's feelings. He won't push you into a corner. You see, a lot of us are pushed ourselves. We're into a corner. We're hoping on something else, and it hasn't kept us stable, and we've drifted into this corner, and we don't know how to get out. We don't know how, like the man at sitting by the pool, how to get from where I am to the pool. Here at Believers Church, we say a lot that we all have one step to take. One step to take from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. See, you can't take that step unless you have hope. Your first step in this thing is understanding that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. You know, my prayer all week for all of you, anybody that hears this message, is that you have hope. That you would find hope. You would know hope and have a personal relationship with Jesus. You see, I think the devil thinks he's won. You heard me say maybe earlier in the week, my wife and I were talking, and she brought to my memory of the time when Jesus was in the grave, and the devil thought he had won. Well, he was mistaken. And our Savior arose. He returned for us, and we have victory. You can have that same victory, that same hope. You haven't lost, no matter what life looks like now. Hope has a name. I want to pray with you. I try to never close a service here at Believers without giving people a chance to meet Jesus. Maybe you're in the category of, I was in church. Maybe this is the first time you've had anything to do with church in a long time. And today, I believe you can make a life-changing and eternity-changing decision that you can find hope. And I want to pray with you. I want you to understand that that can happen today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for everybody within the sound of my voice watching me today, that if they don't know you, your word is clear. They simply pray something like this: Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart that you are who you say you are. And when we do, Father God, your word says that we have found hope. And we thank you for it now, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I ask you for whoever prayed that you touch your hearts. Bring them hope like they've never felt before. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, before we get off here today, I want to remind you, we want to know about your prayers. We want to know about the things you're praying about, how your life's going. So I want to remind you, I know we said it earlier in the announcements, but it's important. So I want to say it again. Send us messages. If you prayed that prayer today, you can send us a message on Facebook Messenger. You can message us at live.bchurch.org, or you can email us at amen@bchurch.org. We want to know. We want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. We want to keep being the church. Now, we'll be